You're already late for your own podcast.
Oh, where are we even meeting? I'll figure it out. It's fine.
Alex tries her best.
You have a good headphone head.
So. Thank you. You know, I would hope so after 10 years of being in radio. That's a
good headphone head. Because, I mean, you've heard the expression, they have a face for radio and all that. Thing. But you have a good head for all of it, for Zoom, for TV, for film. And it's a good headphone head. So.
Thank you. You know what? I think that's a new thing that we're going to start. Like, I have a good headphone head because I really resent the whole face for radio thing.
Change it up.
It's great. So thank you. You started that for me. I appreciate you. By the way, I'm happy this is finally happening. I don't know. Did we just officially start the podcast? I feel like we can say slate and now the podcast has began.
Yeah.
But I'm happy this finally happened because like we've been like social. First of all, this is now Eric and I were talking last week about this podcast and we were saying that most of my friends that come on are social media friends first and then we become in real life friends. And so I feel like this is the first time we're like meeting, but we've been social media friends. So I'm stoked about this. I'm so happy. Like this is finally happening.
This is wonderful. And so since we are, because we've never met Matt. This is me. My name is Cedric. I pronounce it with a long E. And
wow.
Mother did that to me. You know, Alex, no. You're a black mom, do you?
I don't.
You have an amazing headphone head, but you don't have a black mother.
No, I don't. And
black mothers love to make you extremely unique as much as they possibly can. And so that is why my pronunciation, I only correct people that I actually want, if I want them to know me.
Thank you. I wouldn't even bother. Well, what's kind of funny is it's like that, again, having so many friends that have been friends on social media first, this is not the first time that this conversation has happened with people ever. And also with me, because I mean, my last name's Gervaisi, and that just so many people just there's nothing. Yeah. And then it gets awkward, right? When you know someone for like at least on social media for a while, like there have been a lot of times where I've gotten this anxiety where it's like I have corresponded with this person so many times and gone back and forth. And now I got to a point where we've been social media friends for a while. And if I met them in real life, I have the anxiety of being like, how do you pronounce your name? You know, like how, like, I feel
what's
like
your real name.
Yeah. Like, I feel like that should have come up earlier. But again, like when you don't talk to someone in person.
Sorry, that was a character name. I just, alias that I go by. My real name is Chet. You know, it's one of those, like, that would be weird. Like, what? Why did you say that before?
I know. I was like, listen, we can't do this.
No, you're a Chet.
Now, listen, we are now going, no, hold on. How do you say your last name? Because I don't want to mess that up either.
Yes, that is another weird thing. Yarbrough. It's a very English name. My name is very English.
By the way, Cedric, what's kind of funny is the guest who came before you is actually someone you know, my friend Kimmy, who runs Patricia's social, and she's met you on set before. I think she had even said to you like one time, like, oh, I think you know Alex.
Yes.
And I just put that together.
So funny.
Yeah. So.
For your viewers, I did a show called Carol Second Act with Patricia Heaton.
Yes.
And, for CBS, and your friend Kimmy was so sweet, and she came up to me, and we have a friend in common, and then we exchanged our love for you.
Oh, you guys are the best. Thank you so much. Well, listen, I appreciate you coming on today. I'm glad we all, for people listening, I have my wine. Erica has apparently just a glass filled with vodka.
Yeah, just like a lot of vodka and like a little soda.
Yeah.
So, man, that is...
Yeah.
I love you, Erica.
I feel like I'm in like college again, right? Maybe even high school. I don't know.
Listen, Erica, it's clearly been a rough week for you. It's a Thursday night, though. It's technically your Friday.
It is. We're good.
And Cedric's
not drinking a wild berry truly.
Which makes this all better. Like, it just makes it all better.
Part of Cedric. Truly drinks. Please.
I was going to say, part of me wonders if you're like, well, I'm going on a podcast with two white girls. I got to fit this aesthetic. And this was it.
I fit in with you guys, man.
Yeah. So
you normally would have. No, I'm not trying to fit it. This is just me. I mean, I'm quarantining by myself. And so I've just, you know, you get to know you more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you know what? I Trulies are getting me to where I need to be without being dysfunctional.
There and you go. Correct.
It gets me to the happy part of drinking and never the, I'm all alone.
Yes.
Yeah, I never realize I'm alone. I'm enjoying it.
You know, I'm happy that you brought that up because this has obviously nothing to do with the greater conversation I feel like we're going to be having on this podcast. But that is a real thing where I realized early on into quarantine that you have to be very careful about the alcohol you are consuming when you're alone because they are going to bring out different versions of yourself. So, you know, I was just like, at the beginning, I was like, we got to stay away from wine. That's going to make me emotional. It's going to get me a little, you know, a little sad, a little anxious.
You're
and
drinking
so I went,
wine right now.
Well, again, this is 6 months in. This is now normalized for
us.
Okay. We can handle the wine now.
Okay.
But early on in quarantine, it was like tequila. It is an upper. And so I would go for the mezcal on the rocks situation. Sure. But that's a real thing. When you're alone, and the thing is, it's like I live alone too. I'm not someone who drinks alone either, but it's like sometimes it's been a rough day
when it's been 5 months.
I'm the same. I don't drink really, especially alone. That's a lot of friends I have. Oh, I've had a hard day. I'll crack open a beer. That's just not me.
Yeah.
This quarantining, it is like getting to know what's going to get you to where you want to be. And yes, wine makes me a little sad.
Sometimes. Yeah.
Sad drink. Dark liquor will make me want to fight someone a little bit.
Yeah. Yes.
Truly.
Yeah.
But truly, sorry. But I'm a sprite. I'm live. It's maybe a little too sunny.
Yeah. Yeah.
No such thing anymore.
No, there isn't.
I'm a fun drunk. Yeah.
Oh, man. Well, listen, I'm so happy that we finally got you on the show. It was interesting because I was actually right before we recorded this. So I don't know if I told you, but like I'm no longer in radio. I'm on the label side. But, you know, this week, we found our set, like our department was in a pinch. We needed some voiceover work. And there was actually a moment where I was on the phone with our creative director and I was just like, oh God, like, where are we going to get a voiceover artist? And then I was like, I hang up the phone and I was like, bitch, you are the voiceover artist. You've been doing this for 10 years. Yeah. Why the hell did you not go there? So it was for this playlist called Amplified, which you can stream now on Spotify.
With the plug.
And so it's a great playlist. My hip hop curator put it together. It's to amplify Black voices, and you know, with a powerful message, lyrics speaking truth to power. And so I just like in my closet was just recording a script that I made for it. And my boss called me today, and she's like, first of all, had chills at your radio voice. That was so cool to hear for the first time. I was like, thank you very much. And I was like, what's the butt? And she was just like, so I just don't know if your voice matches the message. And I was like, Sam, you can just say you're not Black. Like, that's fine. We can find a Black voiceover artist. Mm-hmm. And she's like, that's what I'm saying. I was like, great, cool. I was just like, let me try to figure out, maybe you can go to voices.com, you know, hire someone. And then I was like, again, Alex, you have 10 years of radio colleagues that you can reach out to at any given time. So I hit up my friend Chuck, who Chuck Dizzle, Erica.
Oh my gosh,
who's like,
yeah,
one of my favorite people. And I was just, it was such a weird thing. And this is, again, there is a segue that's about to come. but like, there I was over FaceTime coaching him through a voiceover session and, you know, just going back and forth. And I was thinking, how fitting is this? Because we're about to talk to someone who does voice acting. And this is where the segue comes in. How are you doing that in COVID? Like, especially like, you know, with everything that you, with you being an actor, everything that you're doing, just like the state of Hollywood in general, the state of the economy in general, like how has that been? Do you have to like record in your home studio? Like, what's the process like?
That is the process. Exactly. You know, it's, recording is very intimate. If for your audience who may not know about voiceover work or just radio work, you go into a studio and you're using a microphone that tons of people have been using. Mm-hmm. And any given day before COVID, you know, hundreds and hundreds of people are doing their wacky, cartoony voices that are spitting all over the microphone, all kinds of stuff, you know. And so now with, you know, the, you know, with this disease that is, you know, airborne, we got to be way more careful. So now what we've been doing is having like built-in studios into our individual homes, whether you do it yourself privately or, which has been great for me, is that the people that I work with have been able to bring in a studio for me and, you know, put it in my closet and where it's nice and quiet, where, you know, a bunch of clothes are in, and then you get to do my work. And, you know, it worked out really great, and it keeps me active. It keeps me fresh. It keeps me, you know, feeling like I'm still a part of this industry that I love. And, and then I have it in the comfort of my home.
Yeah. Amazing. So you've been doing for those of you that are listening and might not know, Cedric is for his animated shows that he's on, Paradise PD, and then Boondocks. And I also saw that Boondocks got picked up. I want to say it was probably a few months ago now. What is time? I don't know. But I did see, obviously. Yeah, I know. I did see that, you know, HBO Max picked it up for season 2, which is awesome. Yeah. And I mean, like, again, like, I feel like I'm not very familiar with, like, how cycles go of sitcoms. Like, when do you record? When do you shoot? How that's conflicted with everything that's going on. But I do know that there are some studios that are opening back up again. And so as far as the, and we're going to get into the, you know, the live shooting too, but as far as the animation is concerned, like, did they basically just tell you for the next foreseeable future, like, you're doing this from home and we're doing everything via Zoom?
Well, they gave me the option of you can come into the studio and do that and record. And I just opted out. Like, I just don't feel safe right now.
To
record where everyone else is recording, because all it takes is just one case. And and for me, who I make my money on voice acting and live action, you know, that I could be, you know, called away, and that, now that job, my live action job is gone. So, I've been very fortunate in that they've been understanding, and, you know, they've been doing it for a lot of voiceover actors who don't have already home studios, that they will come in and make it, you know, make a studio here for me and put it in one of my closets, and away we go. But, you know, my live action stuff is going to be happening soon. I do the Goldbergs, and I've been doing that for several years. And I imagine that they'll want me to quarantine for a couple of weeks first. You know, like, don't even go outside, kind of a thing.
Yeah.
And you know, I've been quarantining since, you know, March, but they you know, they want to make sure that you're not going anywhere for especially action stuff. So that's going to be a little difficult, but it's better than some of my friends that I've known that have had to travel to Canada or New York or someplace where they are just quarantining in a hotel for 2 weeks before they, you know, they have to go shoot. So it's crazy.
I know. I also just love, like, you know, even just hearing you speak about this is like, you can kind of, I can sense the gratitude, like, even like in the midst of, which, you know, Erica knows I love a reframe, but like, obviously, like, so much of this is out of our control right now. And like, you know, this is just what's happening, and it really sucks. But I'm really encouraged to hear that it's like studios are figuring it out, and that you also don't feel pressured to do, you know, like the, like especially like that you can record from home if it's voice acting, and that they're taking extra measures. Like I know one of my friends' husband works on the Warner lot, and they were even saying for Warner Brothers, like everyone is getting tested weekly to make sure, you know, everything is okay. But I just think, I mean, like, especially because, you know, I remember when all this started, like you were thinking, like, how are they going to shoot shows? Like, you can't, like all the scenes have to be everyone 6 feet from each other. Like, that's right. Not going to work either.
Yeah. I think, you know, this is also very experimental. This might not work either. Mm-hmm. You know, but what I do love, though, or especially seeing examples that are working, like, we can go to sports. When you watch the NBA, that their thing is actually working, and that, like, where everyone is living with each other in this bubble and making sure they're still wearing masks when they get off the court, but when it's time to play, they play. You know, they're not distancing; they're doing their regular job, but they're really trying to take precautions for, you know, with the test thing and all living with each other. And I think that might have to be, you know, the case here pretty soon, that we might all have to just, you know, stay on the lot or something together, where, you know, people want content, people want movies and television shows. So let's give it to them, but let's give it to them in a safe way.
Can I, you know, even to that point, like, I think what's so interesting is, like, one thing that, like, we've been, you know, as far as like kind of keeping our ear to the ground and seeing how quickly like culture is shifting in the age of COVID, like, and just I think in general, but it really ramped up the last few months, is people are going back to like things that make them feel good and things that are nostalgic. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that even just with the Boondocks coming back, like, you know, that was a show, full transparency, like I did not watch growing up. Right. And I like hit up a few of my friends, and I was like, what does this show mean to you? And I mean, like, I was getting paragraphs back, like, of just like, this is what me and my family watched. Like, this is what we feel like they did for like Black culture. And like, obviously, you know, season one started, you know, this was in the works before COVID happened. But like, it has to be like, do you feel that like resurgence of just like, again, like the, especially because everyone's just consuming so much, like people are falling in love with these shows all over again?
Yeah, no, definitely. That's a great point, Alex. It is a little bit like comfort food, where it's just like, oh yeah, man, I was feeling down, but there's still inspiration. There's still, you know, hope. Hopefully there's an after this. And after this, there's movement, and we can, you know, move on. But I can go back and look at some of these things, like the Boondocks. I was talking about these issues way before, you know, it's gotten very popular, about police brutality and policing and sexism and the problems we have in jails and all kinds of things that we were addressing, and the government, and long before it's gotten, you know, kind of popular now, you know.
Yeah.
Now it's in our face every day, you know, something's going on, you know, in the you know, in our government. And but Aaron Magruder, the creator of that show, did a comic strip, you know, in the late 90s, and then we made it into an animated series. And it was such a great process to do, because there's a lot of, I come from an improv background, I come from a theater background, but I also come from a lot of improvisation, and we were able to incorporate a lot of just our weird thoughts on things and put them into the, you know, into the characters that we created. And then, you know, then they animate it. And it's really fulfilling that, you know, there's a generation of people that had grown up on it, and then a generation of people that are discovering it. And now with the new, resurgence of it, a rediscovery, and maybe even new fans that will enjoy it when it finally comes out.
What's also so interesting too is, like you even said, like, you know, because it's like, I've never have watched the show, but like, I know enough about it. Like, and I know like how in the past it has been so controversial. And what's ironic about that is the things it was controversial, like what made it controversial are the things that are these talking points, especially in the last few months that have now kind of, it almost in a way become mainstream, right? Like we kind of hit this breaking point a few months ago where corporations felt like they needed to make a statement. Everyone is speaking out, which is great. That's what, you know, we want that. We want the awareness. But it is interesting, again, how like this show's been around long enough, or at least has come back to where the things that they're speaking about are not quote unquote as taboo as they used to be, which is like, again, going back to like, wow, that show has stood the test of time. Like it really, really has. And like, that's really special.
Yeah. Well, we kind of, just because we did it out of, cause we had to make everything, evergreen because of the animation taking so long to come back from, it was South Korea where our studios were before that got it animated. And so we'd had to make things that were like, okay, hopefully this is going to be around. We know racism is going to be around a while. We know people are going to love R. Kelly for a long damn time. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about it, you know.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Tyler Perry and some of the stuff that he's done. Let's talk about some things that we know are very specific, but will also be evergreen, that we'll know about, you know, years from now, and people will still be able to get something out of it. And there are a lot of topics that we've never covered that are still, that we're going to do in this next run. But some of that stuff that's come up now, like, yeah, R. Kelly, I don't know if you guys just, I mean, everything's happened so fast. Remember at the beginning of the year when Popeye's chicken was like the...
Oh, that was
not this year.
That was not this year. That could not have been this year.
That was the craze. That was in January, guys.
No.
How people were craving and going nuts.
And like hurting each other over it.
Yes. We did an episode of that years ago about us going crazy, people going nuts over this fried chicken.
What?
at a restaurant. And so that came to fruition. There's been so many things that have happened. There's a lot of that stuff on The Simpsons too.
I was gonna say, everyone always says, do you see what The Simpsons predicted this too? Yeah. Like, which is also, it's become like a meme in and of itself, but also it's really creepy. Like,
yeah, no, yeah. It concerns me majorly.
Yeah. Like, yeah, who?
But it's like, it's good writing. It's good, yeah, writers that know the human condition and know how we act and react, and history repeats itself, and it'll come back around again, you know.
Wow.
So it's, you know, our writers are fantastic.
I mean, speaking of, you know, other shows that have come back around again, you know, congrats on Reno 911 and Quibi, hey, because
Erica, is she Miss Segway?
She's the queen of Segway. Yes.
Listen,
yes.
This is why I did radio for 10 years. Okay.
Yeah. This is why she's a really good interviewer.
I'm plugging in my laptop and I'm talking at the same time.
Oh,
please excuse me. But like, listen, I hold on, plugging it in. All right. We're good.
Fine. Okay. Good.
We're good. But listen, again, queen of segues. Thank you. That's such a high compliment to someone in radio. I will put that in my back pocket.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, like, I know all the themes we just said does apply. Now, Reno 911 is a show I did watch and do watch. And I was even...
sent me all kinds of things about it.
Oh, like, I listen, again, like, especially I think, like, again, it was so... I don't know when it was where... I feel like clips always go viral from that show, like, on Twitter. Like, it will just be so organic. But what's funny is I feel like a lot in your career, you have played a cop of sorts, or you've been on some type of police show. But like in this, again, the last few months, we have seen, you know, the cancellation of Cops finally, which that show was basically, it's a parody of Cops. And someone tweeted out, Reno 911 is the only, Reno 911 is the only accurate description of a cop show that I will watch. And I was dying at that. But I mean, yeah. Like, that's another thing where, like, I found myself, you know, like a few months ago going back and buying some of those seasons and like just watching them, because again, like it's so funny. It brings so much joy. It makes you forget all of the bullshit that's going on. And again, it's just, honest to God, one of the funniest shows in my opinion that has ever been created. And so now, you know, with the Quibi deal and everything, that like how has that been? Because you go from these, you know, 30-minute episodes or 22-minute episodes to now like in bite-sized pieces, and now like you have to shoot in during a pandemic too. Mm-hmm. And I feel like it's just probably just been such a different vibe, I would assume.
Yeah, that's well, first of all, thank you so much for the compliments. That's so sweet of you. Thank you.
Of course.
You know, it's so funny. The show has been around forever. Mm-hmm. I've been doing the show basically for 20 years. Wow. When I first moved out here to LA was in 2000. And wow. That's when I booked the show. And it was for Fox. Because we thought, let's do a show right on Saturday nights, right after Cops. Let's do this other show right after that show. Fox hated it. Mm-hmm. It's been on the shelf for 3 years, and then Comedy Central picked it up in 2003. And so it makes me feel old, but also very, it's such a nice compliment when people tell me, you know, I used to, you know, get in trouble trying to watch your show. I was 8 years old. And, you know, something ridiculous. Like, you know,
I didn't want to say it, but
I was going to say, I would have been 10 then when it went on. So
Erica, I'm sorry.
I was 13 when we shot it.
So, yeah. So there you go. We're the same.
You violated some child labor laws.
Tall, mature teenager.
Yes. Absolutely.
Yeah, for it to come back around, again, like the Boondocks, it's comfort food for a lot of people to be like, oh, yeah, that's right. I loved that show. And people are very happy because it never really lost a step. In fact, I think we've gotten better. Just our experiences, individual experiences, doing other projects, doing movies, doing other shows. I think we'd all now come back like as the super friends. These like superpowers of comedy, and it's an improvised show, so we crack each other up all the time just doing the show. And we shot it before COVID, by the way.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We shot it before COVID. I think they want us to do another season. Quibi is really high on the series, and I think we're going to maybe possibly do another series, but I'll be honest with you, Alex. I wasn't sure I wanted to do the show again, another eighth season. After season, we've already shot those, and we got part two of season seven that's about to air on Monday, the 24th of mm-hmm. August. But I wasn't too keen on coming back and doing the show again, especially after the unrest. George Floyd, what has happened, yeah. and the state of affairs right now. It was really, you know, and still very difficult for me to, you know, make this show funny. I personally am a Black man from Minneapolis,
yeah,
where this case happened, you know, and I play a fake cop on television. So what is it that I'm, you know, why do I want to accept money by doing this thing again? You know, I had to battle a lot of, you know, a lot of thoughts of mine and drink a lot of Trulies and come, you know, to, I don't know, I've had some coming to Jesus moments within myself of, do I want to do the show?
You know, first of all, thank you for just like even being vulnerable and saying that, because I think that was one of the things that, like, when I, you know, was even thinking about all the role, like, I mean, I'm a huge BoJack Horseman fan too. And I know that you had like a reoccurring role, as a, correct me if I'm wrong, a cat cop, on that show. But like, even when I was like looking at that, like, again, like for me, it was just like, I know that there have been, you know, not even in the last few months, over the last few years too. I think even like, especially after I think Mike Brown, and I think when Black Lives Matter especially started to kind of become at the forefront a little bit more, like where there were a lot of Black actors who were playing Black cops or on cop TV shows that they were posting on Instagram about that internal struggle. Like, and I was wondering, like I was even just like mentally preparing to like chat with you today, if that was the same for you, because again, like for anyone who hasn't watched Reno 911, kind of back to like that tweet where I think like there have been so many of those viral moments, especially in the last few months since George Floyd's death, where people were like, this is the only cop show that I would still watch just because it's kind of, it's making fun of them. It's not like, and so I was wondering if that made it easier for you to come to a decision, if there was still an internal battle with that. And I mean, was that like part of the reason why you were just like, okay, I feel like morally okay to do this, just because again, it doesn't really glorify them.
Yeah, no, it doesn't glorify them. But I think what helped me was I leaned, on my castmates. I called up Niecy Nash and told her, you know, I don't think I want to do this show anymore. I don't think, what's the point, you know? I'm just not feeling funny. I don't know if I can contribute to this. And I just, you know, I'm not feeling it anymore. And then I talked to Thomas Lennon, who plays Dangle on the show, our lieutenant on the show, who also is an executive producer, one of the writers on it. And those two in particular really talked me off the ledge. And particularly with Niecy was that, what is it that we can do to help, first of all? And I came up with the idea of helping the George Floyd family with their funeral costs. All of us from Reno, all of my cast members, we all contributed money to them and helping them with their funeral costs. And that part really helped for me, was that that's right. My cast members are still, they're still great human beings that will rally around me when I feel down about something, or I can always count on them to be as woke and as scared and worried about this world as I am. You know, they're right there. And then I thought also, you know, it's easy for me to quit and be done, but then I don't have a voice. I don't have, I take myself out of the conversation. I take myself out of what we can do. Our show is a satirical look on police officers. And a lot of police officers use the show as tapes of what not to do as a cop, which is fantastic for me. I love that they use it as what not to do, because that, you know, our show is a very skewering look at how bad, you know, these, a lot of these things that we do are things that you should never do on the show. We've always been like the Boondocks, and which always attracts me is something that has something to say.
Yeah.
Talked about the border wall. We have talked about moving monuments. We have talked about race issues all the time, sexism. We talk about everyone. And I think we can talk about everyone because we love everyone. Genuinely. Our show isn't about picking on people. It's about pointing our humanness in everyone. And so because I know our show is coming from love and not malice, I feel like, okay, you know what? It is easy to shut it all out, but that's not the reality of what our show is. Our show is a satirical look on the human condition, and people love it. People still really, really rave and are very happy to see it. So that's what's shaping me to come back.
Yeah. You know, I feel like so many, like, again, like so many of the shows that you've done, you know, again, like BoJack even being another one where there is always kind of something to say, which is, I mean, one of the reasons why I love BoJack and I love these shows because they're really funny. Mm-hmm. And somehow take serious topics and come at it with a satirical approach.
Yeah.
And then also leave you thinking. Like you laugh and it's very fun, and you know, now I've got to start watching Boondocks, but again, like they kind of, you know, at least with how I had felt with BoJack, and again, like even what's so funny is like, you know, all of like, you know, the shows that you're naming always have these clips that continually go viral. Like they always, again, back to like what I had said earlier, kind of stand this test of time as well. And that's, again, that is, you know, I would have supported you, whatever you wanted to do, but it is cool to hear your process and be let in on your process on how you got from point A to point B and realize you could maybe use your platform for something bigger.
I think it's important for people to also know that, you know, because, you know, you never know what's going on inside of why people do what they do. And especially since I've been around for a while, people tend to like what I do. Like, I don't know how to pronounce that guy's name, but I know I like whatever he's in, I'm always enjoying. And so, interviews like this and different, different magazine articles that I've done and interviews on TV that I've done. I think it's important, especially in this time of revolution, that we let people in and tell them, you know, how we're feeling. You were talking about some of the things that I've done. I didn't go in to this career wanting to shape opinion and waken people. I just wanted to make people laugh. And for me, I wanted to work. I enjoy work. But I've, you know, a while I made a decision to take on projects that also have that element that can make you laugh, but also make you think. I did a project called Speechless on ABC for...
Oh, that was a great show.
Yeah, and it was... me as a caretaker, I took care of this kid who had cerebral palsy and didn't speak. And, he was a teenager boy who loved girls and loved fashion and loved, Big Brother. I'm sorry. What was that show? The Bachelor, you know, he's just like a regular kid. And to have this black man teaching him how to be a man was very important for me to have that type of that image, that type of relationship being shown on TV, especially for the disability community. I think all of us want to be represented, and to have a kid, this guy Micah Fowler is his name, who does have CP in real life, but for him to portray this kid as a real person, as a four-dimensional human being, not just the an angel that some people think disability people are. There's just angels sent from heaven. No, they're also jerks from time to time too. And especially if you're a teenager, you're still an asshole too.
Every teenager is.
We all are whatever.
And so I think it was really important to show that side and also show the sweet side of kids as well. And so that, I think, for me has been very important to do shows that make you laugh, but also make you think, and also, you know, that you're not just, it's not just candy, that you also have some sustenance and some nutrition that you can sustain yourself and be like, yeah, okay, I get it, you know?
Yeah. See, I could really sit here and probably talk to you all night about this. And again, I've really just so appreciated you taking the time and, you know, grabbing your Truly and coming on with us today and just chatting with us. Because again, like it, what you have done has really, what you do brings so much joy into people's lives. Like really has, again, like me personally, just like what you, like the shows that you have done, again, like there is a sense of escapism there. And so it's great to kind of pull back the curtain a little bit and kind of get a glimpse into the process that goes into that. So thanks for even just like taking time out of your day and just chatting with us. I appreciate you.
I wish I had a burp right now and I would just finish it.
Were you trying? Listen, I was trying to have a sentimental moment. Like you don't have to ruin it.
So sweet. And I just wanted to cap it off with a nice burp.
That also, I have to tell you, actually, Kimmy had told me at one point that, like, I remember, I think because I have her book right now, Carol's Second Act, in my living room right now. But yeah. I remember she had come back from a day of shooting, and she was just, had said to me, she was just like, oh my gosh, he is just so funny, and just like the things that you would come up with on the fly, which again, improv is something that just I do not understand how people have this talent.
Yeah, but you do it every day. I'm great at segues.
Yeah. she's great at segues, less great at jokes. Yeah. Both
of you all day. That's the thing, like like a lot of people don't realize that they can just tap into it. You do it all the time, you know.
Yeah.
It's just honing in that muscle where you make sure that whatever you say is always funny.
Yeah. Can I actually ask? I was gonna say, can I ask one thing about, because it was funny, because I know, just for again our listeners that don't know, when you say like, you know, Reno 911 is an improv show.
Yeah.
How much of that, like when you get, because it's like people are used to, like, you know, there's sitcoms or there's scripts and stuff, and normally you stick to that for the most part. But how is that show different? Like, do you just have a concept and then you guys just go and then they just shoot it? Like, how does that even work?
Yeah, well, Tom Lennon, Ben Garant, and Carrie Kinney are our head writers on the show. They also are cops on the show as well. But they come up with a lot of our concepts first. And then we also, as a cast, you know, Nisi's writing, Cedric Yarbrough's writing, Carlos Alzraki, Wendy McLennan Covey, we're all writing on the show, pitching our ideas to them as well. You know, someone is masturbating on an escalator. And then we go pick them up. That's, you know, that's as much as we really... We don't put a whole lot of thought, unless it's a big stunt. We're not writing, you know, big old things. And so we want to keep it fresh. We want to make it look like the show Cops.
Yeah.
So we keep it very, very, very simple. And so all the dialogue is improvised, and most of what we are doing is, you know, improvised. Like I would say about 80%, 85%, because we'll do a take and then we'll go, okay, look, that's the joke right there. Let's do that faster and get to that point faster and funnier, so we can make it a little bit more concise. But, you know, that's really how we do it. And it's weird to catch lightning in a bottle, but for some reason, you know, we're all weird and we're all really committed.
Yeah.
we will all get very naked very quickly.
whatever you gotta do, whatever you gotta do to get the shot, right? Like, isn't,
I feel like, you know, yeah, what, it's time.
You're like, I have one
wanted to just
you're like, I have one Truly in my system, and now it's time.
Oh, God.
It's done. And that And that is how we're going to end this episode.
That is, okay. Although, Alex, we do need to say congratulations on the Emmy nomination.
Yes. Thank
you. Huge. Okay. So cool. This is why I'm Erica. Yeah.
I'm so grateful that that's actually happening. I mean, after 17 years of it being, you know, around, we finally are nominated and acknowledged. And a special shout out to Carrie Kenney, who got a nomination herself for acting.
Wow, amazing.
And we're beyond happy. And it would be cool to actually be able to celebrate with each other.
Oh, yeah. No kidding.
That's the sucky part where you can't hug and go to parties and, you know, hobnob, but
yeah.
But it is just it's really cool to just to have be acknowledged that way. It's great.
Man, it might have to be a Zoom party, or I don't know. Like, listen, I'm not going to tell you how to use your pool, but tell people to bring their own lawn chair, bring over a mask, bring their own cup, and then
their own Trulies.
I was like, their only Trulies, and you just mark spaces in the backyard, and everyone has to stay in their chair. So look at that, might be what you have to do.
Girl, I was going to text you.
You're like, you just blew up my spot.
All our plans, all on it.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
No, we can edit that out.
The secret, Alex. I've listened to some of these podcasts. I listened to a potential person you were dating or something.
No, you have not.
Yes, and it was like your ex that you were with for 10 years. And
My God.
I listen to this stuff.
Well.
Yeah, that's what I'm like. I can't tell Alex.
Anything. Well, listen.
It's true.
I got nothing. No, that's it. Listen, there is a circle of trust, okay? And Erica knows that.
Yeah.
You're in the circle of trust. I don't foresee you, wronging me in any way. And if
I would never know.
And thank you. And listen, as you know, because you listen to the podcast, everyone's names are out of it. So that's it.
But I think I know these people. I think I...
Do you think you know these people?
I have I've kind of a diagram.
He's keeping notes.
You're like, I've gone down Reddit threads. I have done what I've needed to do to connect the dots.
Gosh.
By the way, did we see that our friend Erica has finished that glass there?
Almost.
Look at that.
I have like a sip left. Can you let me live? Okay.
I'll let her live.
Listen.
I don't know what portion of vodka was.
I don't either. So. Yeah.
Cedric, she just said, I don't neither. So no, I think that
I said either. I will find you both.
I was like, I think that answers our question.
Yes.
I will say I had on Sunday, there was a moment, and I guess I'll end on a personal story, but like this, sure. You know, I went to my friend Laura's house and we had too good of a time because somehow we started watching like Lil' Kim music videos and then Boys to Men. And then we just went down this rabbit hole of like 90s music videos. Yeah. And we watched that for 5 hours and we were just drinking. And then we just kept drinking vodka.
Alex, I was doing that before this interview. I got that of 90s. You're all I need.
Yeah.
Oh man, come on.
Listen.
Go ahead. Okay, I didn't.
No, I was going to say, it kept going. Like, we literally just watched for, next thing I know, I went, Laura, we have been watching music videos for 5 hours.
Yeah. Alex was tweeting about it or posting about it, and I was like, it's been hours, ma'am. Like, I wanted to respond to you and be like, are you well? But I just let you go.
No, thank you. So. And then what the best part where the vodka comes in was they have a jacuzzi and we just like asked her husband to continually bring us just like vodka drinks. And good I know husband. He hated us. Like, I know he was good like, husband. You guys are just, I can't do it. And so at one point he brought out vodka sodas for us and we sipped it. And we're like, we can't taste vodka. We think this is just straight seltzer. And I went and got the vodka and I poured more and I was like, afterwards the next morning, I was like, I think there was vodka. Mm-hmm. And I think I probably doubled it. Yeah. Wow. So Erica, what I'm trying to say is I lift you up in your choices.
Thank you. Thank you. I just chugged that last sip. So we're good.
Yeah. So you're fine. But listen,
proud of you, girl.
Yeah. You. I'm really here for the support I'm receiving. I love you both. Wow.
Yes. You know, times are tough, right? It's not easy out here. So whatever you got to do, by any means necessary, I support you.
Now, that 90s wormhole, though, is serious, man. That music, come on.
It was.
Return of the, that is Return of the...
Yes!
Fuck off the world!
Also,
come on.
And the blueprint for so much music, especially today. Like when we were on Lil Kim, I was like, blueprint right here. She was the blueprint for everything.
Yo, true. I know you hear me.
Yes!
Come on, that got a crush on you?
Yes.
Love that song.
I'm now going to go down another wormhole as soon as this interview
She's
is done.
Be drunk texting us after this.
Like, you remember this one? Yeah. Like, I'm just going to start sending links.
Oh, God.
Oh, listen, Cedric, plug everything, all the shows our listeners need to watch with you on it, where they can follow you, anything else you would like to plug, or feel free. This is your time.
Reno 911. And right now I'm also recording The Boondocks. That will be out sometime. I don't know. And then the Goldbergs will be out in the fall. So
amazing. Well, listen, thank you so much. Before Erica yells at me, I always forget this part.
Here's our girl.
I know. Thanks. I finally got it after 2 years. You can always rate, like, subscribe, all of that to Alex Tries Her Best, wherever you listen to podcasts. You are listening to this podcast right now, so I guess just keep doing that. And then you can follow me on socials at Alex on the Mic and Erica.
I'm Erica Shea with 3 A's.
There you go. Yeah. And thank you again for coming on the show today. I appreciate
you. Thank you so much. You rule.
Yeah.
That was a fun time. You can find me on Instagram and Twitter on @CedarKiarbro.
Thank you.
Amazing.
All right.
Thank you.